Isaiah chapter 55. As a father, there's been one thing that I haven't ever had to do until this week. On Wednesday night, after coming home from Awana's, I was pretty tired and I headed off to bed and fell asleep. But then I woke up and was kind of needed a glass of water and needed to get a drink because I was coughing a little bit. I didn't feel the best this week, and I headed out and I found that I had a child still awake and needed to send them to bed. I've never had to do that. And it was my youngest child who here long after her bedtime, she is sitting here and she is just, she had was into this book and she's reading it. And I said, "Kylie, you have school tomorrow. It's long past your bedtime. You need to go to sleep." I've never had to do that. I know I'm fortunate, right? Because I'm sure as parents, most of you probably have had to do that too. And I never thought it would be my youngest that I would finally have to say, "It's time to go to bed." But I can remember being her age, and I would do the same thing. I would open a book, and I would get into the book, and I wouldn't be able to put it down. She's a lot like me in that aspect. And she would, and I said, "Kylie, what are you, like, almost to the end of this book?" And she's like, "No, Dad, I just started it." I said, "Who starts a book at 10 o'clock? Kylie was. She's in the middle of reading contest at school. And I think she's determined. I was talking to her teacher, and she said, "Your daughter's determined," because they get like little hearts for every couple of minutes that they read. She said, "Your daughter's determined to fill the board." And coming home, this is how Kylie walks around the house. This is what she does. And honestly, I think if it was the other two children, I wouldn't have shared that story with you. But with Kylie, I would. It wouldn't bother her too much. She'd probably wear it as a badge of honor. But I think about this book. And I remember some of the books that I would read as a kid. And I remember diving into and couldn't put down a lot of books like King Arthur and The Chronicles of Narnia and J.R.R. Tolkien. And I read and read and read and read. And there were so many times where I just would get into a good book and I grabbed it and I took it and I couldn't put it down. And as I read this book daily, this book is so superior to any book that I've ever read. And sometimes I think that there are some people that they see like Bible verses on people's wall that are sources of inspiration. They will hear Bible verses that will tell you what is right and what is wrong and make you feel guilty in your conscience. Or they'll hear about Bible verses that are hard to understand. And they'll think, "Man, this book must be boring." But as I read this book, I find it to be not the case at all. If you want to be encouraged, this book fits the bill. If you want to be challenged, this book will do that. If you want to read stories that will excite you and lift you up, this book will do that. If you want something that will bring suspense, make you question. If you want to study this book, if you want to read a couple of verses in your spare time to be encouraged, this book will do all of those things. But in this particular passage that we're reading, Isaiah chapter 55, I'd like to read it again. It's been a couple of weeks since we've looked at it. It says, "Ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. And you who have no money, come buy and eat. Yes, come buy wine and milk, without money and without price. Why do you spend money for what is not bread? And your wages for what does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me and eat what is good. And let your soul delight in abundance. Incline your ear and come to me. Hear, and your soul shall live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you, the sure mercies of David. Indeed, I have given him as a witness to the people, a leader and a commander for the people. Surely you shall call a nation you do not know, and nations who do not know you shall run to you, because of the Lord your God and the Holy One of Israel, for he has glorified you. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his ways, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him. I plan on going through the whole chapter 55, but today that's probably about as far as I intend to go. So as we're looking at this passage, and as we're looking at it, we see that there is this market that we are looking for to purchase. And we can go to the market and we can purchase things and we can buy them without price. And so we say we lay up treasures in heaven, where moth and rust don't corrupt, where thieves do not break through and steal. And we looked and we saw that God was that Jesus Christ was the bread of life. He is everything that we long for, everything that we need. And then we talked about how, so 2 weeks ago when I was sharing with this, I said, in this passage it talks about listen carefully, incline your ear, hear. And I talked about how we need to be attentive to what the Lord is saying. He inclines his ear to us. He's asked us to taste and see that the Lord is good. He's told us to look and live. And so I said, we need to be completely engaged in this idea of a coming kingdom, and our life needs to be dedicated to serving the Lord and his kingdom here. And now we're going to change away from us and our responsibilities and what we ought to be doing in relationship to the kingdom. And now we're going to take a look at the coming Messiah, the coming King. I said we need to trust the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. It's kind of interesting. English class and grammar class wasn't my favorite thing. Right now, I say, every morning I try to work on and exercise when I get up, but there's three things that I want to work on and I want to exercise when I wake up. My soul, my mind, and my body. When I get up, those are the three things that I want to do. And how I exercise my mind, what I would like to do to exercise my mind, is to get out a math book and do math problems, but I know that that's just what I'm going to be doing all day. What I'd like to do is I like to study Spanish in the morning. I like to do that. And I really struggle when it comes to how to conjugate verbs and how to speak them correctly and when to use what. And I find that to be very difficult. And so when I came to Isaiah chapter 55, and as I was looking this over and as I was studying this, I needed some help. But I found something very, very interesting. In our English Bible, we read the word you in verses 1 to 4. It says, come to the waters, and you who have no money. And in verse 2 it says, why do you? And a few times through this passage we read the word you. And that word in there, this isn't something that I found out or some great knowledge that I learned on my own, is plural. It means it'd be like me talking to you. Okay. Why don't you all come to the party that we're going to have Friday night, and you're invited, and We aren't having a party Friday night. I'm just using that as an example. But I said, why don't you all come? You come. But then, if we look in verse 5, it says, surely you shall call a nation you do not know. And nations who do not know you shall run to you because of the Lord your God and the Holy One of Israel, for he has glorified you. In that verse, in verse 5, the you there, it's singular. And that is a message for the king. In verse 5, God's not talking to any of us. Isaiah's message that God gave him is not for you and me. We're to learn from it and we're to grow by it, but the message is for Jesus Christ. And so as we look at that verse, when it says, surely you shall call a nation you do not know, and nations who do not know you shall run to you because of the Lord your God and the Holy One of Israel, for he has glorified you. That passage right there isn't for citizens of the kingdom. It's for the King of the kingdom. And so as I look at this, I'm saying, okay, the first part's for me. Come, buy, and eat. Yes, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. That's good. Lay up treasures in heaven. Jesus Christ is my sustenance. Hear and listen to the words of God. That's all for me. But when I get to verse 5, that's a message for Jesus Christ. And when it says there that God is going to glorify you, it means one day God's going to lift Jesus Christ up. And when the nations of the world come to him, and the kingdoms of the earth are coming to Jerusalem to gather around the holy temple of God to find Jesus to be the Prince of Peace and the King of Kings who's going to rule this world. That's a message for our Savior. Think about Philippians chapter 2, which would apply here. It says that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the praise and glory of God the Father. Message for Jesus Christ. And so I get this picture that I'm to be a citizen of this kingdom. I'm looking forward to this kingdom. And what am I looking forward to? What am I going to purchase? I'm purchasing things for the kingdom of Jesus Christ. And one day, he's going to rule this whole world. And the nations of the world are going to flock to him. And I plan on being with him and by his side when that happens. Let's take a look at and let's remember the Davidic covenant. Let's turn in our Bibles over to 2 Samuel chapter 7. In 2 Samuel chapter 7 and verse 8, it says, now therefore, thus shall you say to my servant David, thus says the Lord of hosts, I took you from the sheepfold, from following the sheep to be ruler over my people, over Israel. And I have been with you wherever you have gone, and have cut off all your enemies from before you, and have made you a great name, like the name of the great men who are on the earth. Moreover, I will appoint a place for my people Israel, and I will plant them, that they may dwell in a place of their own, and move no more. Nor shall the sons of wickedness oppress them any more as previously. Since the time that I commanded judges to be over my people Israel, and have caused you to rest from all your enemies. Also, the Lord tells you, that he will make you a house. When your days are fulfilled, and you rest with your fathers, I will set up your seed after you, who will come from your own body, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. I will be his father, and he shall be my son. If he commits iniquity, I will chasten him with the rod of men, and with the blows of the sons of men. But my mercy shall not depart from him, as I took it from Saul, whom I removed before you, and your house and your kingdom shall be established forever before you. Your throne shall be established forever. That's the Davidic covenant, that God was going to establish his kingdom on earth, and that there would be this Messiah, this coming Savior, the ruler of the world, the King of Kings, the Prince of Peace, whose kingdom would have no end. When we get to Psalm 55 in verse 5, that message that's in that passage, it's for him. Because here, and if you read 2 Samuel chapter 7, and then you read the Gospels, if you have any question as to if Jesus is claiming to be 2 Samuel chapter 7, you need to read it again, because every time you turn the page, Jesus is claiming to be Son of the Father, the King of Kings, he who will establish his throne over this world, the one who came to seek and save that which was lost. He's the Messiah. He's 2 Samuel 7. He's the one who the message of Isaiah chapter 55 is for. He would be like David, a good king. But, unlike David, he would be a perfect king. The son of the heavenly Father. A sacrificial lamb who would lay down his life on our behalf. And I don't know about you, but I look forward to that kingdom. I look forward to the day that we will see Jesus Christ ruling and reigning from his throne on high, and this world being set right. Because sometimes I can see that the stain and the curse that sin has left on this world breaks our hearts. But a new David is coming, and his kingdom is soon to be established. And I cannot wait for that day. And so this morning we read about the coming new David. And we read from Isaiah chapter 11. And I'd like us to open up there. And we read it this morning, so we don't need to take a look and read it again. But we'll look at it and we'll highlight a few things that we cannot wait for, that we can't wait to see and to experience. In Isaiah chapter 11 it says, "There shall come forth a rod from the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. The Spirit of the Lord will rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord." So many books that I read when I was a kid. There was that king, that good king. I think since time began, that's what man has longed for. A ruler who will rule justly, and rightly, and will set the world right and make it decent and in order. Right now, we argue about that as people, don't we? How things ought to be done and how they ought to be ruled and what we need to do. This week, it seemed like so many conversations that I had, and you probably agree with the conversations that you had with people, had to do with politics and how things should be taken care of and what should be done to make things right and better in this crooked and broken world. King Jesus will rule in a spirit of wisdom. He'll know how to do it, and he'll know how to do it right. He will rule with counsel and might. He'll tell us what this world needs, and he will make sure that it is done appropriately. He won't write something into law and then no one will follow it. When King Jesus tells us what to do, we will obey when he sits on his throne here on this earth. He will rule in the spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. It says in verse 4, "But with righteousness he shall judge the poor and decide with equity for the meek of the earth." We need that, don't we? Amen. It says in verse 5, "Righteousness shall be the belt of his loins, and faithfulness the belt of his waist. The wolf shall dwell with the lamb. The leopard shall lie down with the young goat. The calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and the little child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall graze together. Their young ones shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like an ox. The nursing child shall play by the cobra's hole, and the weaned child shall put his hand on the viper's nest. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord, as the waters cover the sea." This passage here says, not only is Jesus Christ, as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, out to redeem us, to purchase us from the slave market of sin, which has us in bondage. After speaking with the adulterous woman, Jesus Christ turns to the Pharisees that had brought this woman and laid her at his feet and said, this woman was caught in adultery, the very act, should we stone her? And Jesus Christ gets down and writes in the sand and says, "Let him who is without sin cast the first stone." Amen. Those men quickly drifted away one by one, and she alone was left with Jesus, and he looks at her and says, "Woman, where are your accusers?" And there was none left, and he says to her, "Well, neither do I accuse you. Go and sin no more." It was shortly after that that Jesus had a conversation. And in that conversation, he said to the men, "If you know the truth will set you free." They got upset at Jesus and they said, "We aren't slaves. We're not in bondage. We're free men." And Jesus said to them, he said, "If you're a sinner, you're a slave to sin." And he began to talk to them about his relationship with his Father. And we've seen so much in this, as we've been talking about the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, that Jesus had, that the coming Messiah would have a relationship with the Father. And he said, "If you are a sinner, you are a slave to sin." And Jesus came to seek and to save those who were lost. Redemption. to set free the lost sinner. But not only would he come to this world to set the sinner free, as we see here, he also came to set all of creation free. The world is going to be at peace when King Jesus sits on his throne. Things are going to be done right when King Jesus sits on his throne. Things will be done appropriately when King Jesus sits on his throne. And I cannot wait for that day. I long for it, and I hope you do too. Redemption, this world needs redemption. It needs to be set free from the sin that is destroying it. We long for that. Let's turn back over in our Bibles to Isaiah chapter 55. In Isaiah chapter 55, in verse 6, it says, "Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near." We need to seek the Lord while he may be found. Now is the time for us to seek the Lord. I find it very interesting. It says, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. I'm guessing that that verse implies that if he is found, if he is able to be found now, maybe someday there will come a time where he's not going to be available to you. And I know that that sounds hard, but I think about people, as long as they're here on this earth, they have the opportunity to turn and run to Jesus Christ. But we don't know when our time is up. And Jesus Christ is calling us now. And tomorrow might be too late. So often the Bible says that now is the time. In Hebrews it phrases it, today while it is still called today. Tomorrow might be too late. And right now Jesus Christ is near to you. So go searching and seeking for him. Let's look at a couple of passages that have to do with this idea of seeking the Lord. Let's look in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 2. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 2. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 2 it says, "For he says, in an acceptable time, I have heard you, and in the day of salvation, I have helped you. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, wants you to be a part of his kingdom, that coming kingdom, when he will take his redeemed people, those who have trusted him as his Lord and Savior, and he will make them a part of his redeemed earth. In the coming kingdom, the thousand-year kingdom here on earth, will Jesus will rule and reign from his throne in Jerusalem, and then after that, for all of eternity in heaven. And I long and I can't wait to see those things. But now is the time when we need to be seeking that relationship with the Lord. When I was at camp, I used to do this simple little thing. But it never ceased to amaze me how much people got into it. I would take a piece of paper, just like this, and I'd put a picture on it. And I might put a picture of, if it was fish week, I would put a picture of some fish or a whale or a shark. If it was jungle week, I'd put a parrot or a lion or something like that. And I'd fold that paper. Just did it every morning. Folded that paper up. I put two pieces of tape on it, and I'd go around camp, and I'd stick it someplace. And then in the announcements in the morning, I'd say, "You're looking for a whale today. Go out and search and find it, and the team that brings it back gets 1,000 points. I always said, points are free, and you can give points to kids, and points are free, and they get excited about getting points. The more points you get them, the more excited they get. So
it's worth 1,000 points. Oh, 1,000 points! It's awesome!
I'm like, you're looking for a piece of paper. This is it. So, but I would take it and I would hide it. And the kids would go looking. It was kind of interesting because the kids would look and they'd look and they'd come and they'd ask me, where'd you hide it? I said, I'm not going to tell you. Could you give us a clue? I said, well, if I give you a clue, I'm going to give the next person a better clue. And so, but anyways, I always get pissed about it. The kids loved it, just looking for that and searching for it. Here, there, under, everywhere. And it was interesting. The staff liked it too. These college kids, they loved it. They'd go searching and everything. I had to make rules. I said, during day camp, because we do it during day camp and overnight camp, I say, staff, it's for the day campers. If they didn't find it during the day and the kids have gone home, you have to stop looking for it. There was this one girl, Brianna. Brianna would like start pulling her hair out, looking, and I would hide it, and sometimes they wouldn't find it, and she'd say, I looked everywheres. I don't even think you hit it today. Said, oh yeah, I did. And it was funny because sometimes I remember I would hide one of those silly pieces of paper and nobody'd find it. And I would forget all about it. And then like 2 years later, I'd be like cleaning the beneath the slide under the pool. I'd be like, oh yeah, I hid that there last year. And I'd find the thing a while later and they'd long forgotten about it. But when I think about seeking the Lord, what he's offering us is free. Those points that I offered the kids, they were free. But the reward that I gave those kids was like a little piece of chocolate at the end of the week if their team won. And they would search high and low and under things and all around, and they would search and search and search to find this thing so they could win a piece of chocolate. But what it says here, seek the Lord while he may be found, call upon him while he is near. God has so much more to offer you than a piece of chocolate. In this life and the next. Today, he has new life to offer you. And you start talking to the people around here, the people that know Jesus Christ, that are watching as they're praying for their friends and they are seeing prayers answered. I was so encouraged by our church people this week as I was talking to people and they were saying, these people in church, they're coming alongside of me and they're praying for me. And I was like, great, awesome. We've got some real prayer warriors in our church who will pray for you. You say, well, I got a need and I don't think I got anybody to pray for it. Come to prayer night and come to Wednesday night prayer meeting. You'll find people who want to pray for you and care and are going to keep after you, and they'll pray about your needs and your cares and your concerns. They will. Seek God today. Get on your hands and knees and pray to him. Say, God, I need you in my life. Help me. God, I need to see you at work. Help. He will. He's near to you and he wants to answer your requests and he wants to reward you. So if I can give kids a piece of chocolate for searching for a piece of paper, the Lord wants to offer you his ear. He wants to offer you heaven, a redeemed world, to spend eternity with him, a new body, a new life. Seek him today while he's near. Seek him with the enthusiasm of a child. And you will lack no good thing. Let's turn in our Bibles to Psalm 34. In Psalm 34, it says, the young lions lack and suffer hunger, but those who seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing. I starred this whole psalm, and I said, see Isaiah 55. And I talked about that 2 weeks ago. I said, you could put these two, you could put Psalm 34 and Isaiah 55, and probably whenever you read one, you ought to read the other, because they go together so well. And I encourage you to do that. Anytime you read Psalm 34, look over in Isaiah chapter 55, and they work together. They work in concert with each other. And let's look in our Bibles to Psalm 50, to Matthew 5, Matthew 5, to a verse we all know. We've probably sung a song about it before. And as we look at the Sermon on the Mount, we find in Psalm, in Matthew chapter 5, and verse 33. Actually, I think I want Psalm, or Matthew 6:33. That's the wrong verse there. It's Matthew 6:33. It says, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. If we are seeking the Lord, and if we found him to be faithful, we don't have to worry about tomorrow. Remember I said in Isaiah chapter 55, it says, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Tomorrow might be too late. But if we seek him, we seek first his kingdom, and tomorrow we don't have to worry about if we have the Lord today. If we don't have the Lord today, tomorrow's a mystery. And we have no one that we can rely on who knows what's coming. But if we seek the Lord today, tomorrow we'll be okay. I hope that as we've looked today and as we've seen, we got a King of Kings and a Lord of Lords. And his return is near, and he's desiring today to redeem our souls and our lives. Soon he's coming back to redeem this world. The nations of the world are going to come and they're going to bow down before him. And he's going to change the culture around here. And he's going to rule this way, rule the way it ought to be ruled, in righteousness, decently and in orderly, with mercy from his throne. And I can't wait for that day. But while it's today, and I'm looking forward to tomorrow, I'm going to seek the Lord. And if it means that I have to, like my daughter, at nighttime, just pour into this book way past my bedtime and read and read and read and read and read and seek him today, that's what I'm going to do. And maybe today what you need to do is you need to grab a friend and you need to start seeking the Lord. You need to find him faithful in your life. You need to count on him for tomorrow. And you say, God, I want to be a part of your kingdom. When you fix this world, I want to be there right with you. I'm going to seek you today. Look for maybe a friend. Grab somebody and say, hey, will you tell me what a relationship with Jesus Christ is all about? I want to pour my life and seek him today. I want to find him to be faithful. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Let's pray. Dearly Father, I thank you so much for this passage of Scripture. I get excited when I think about your kingdom. I long for heaven. I long for the redemption of this world. I long to see your face. And Lord, I pray that you might help me to live for you today. Help me to seek you. Help those who are here who maybe haven't seek your face recently to be able to do that. Help them to trust you, to lay their lives down before your feet and come to you in their time of need. Bless us today as we leave this place. In your Son, Jesus' name we pray. Amen.